she had some time back said, you know, many weeks back said, I think I got a message for Father's Day. But you keep thinking what you might want to share too, she would tell me. She didn't want to give me the easy out. Like, okay, you can disconnect from God for a few weeks now. You don't have to listen to him. She said, you just keep going. And it seems like some of the things the last few weeks that come up in my messages and all kind of lead into, touches her spirit and some of those things. And so Dean is going to share, you know, Father's Day. A lovely wife, a supporter of mine. And so she's going to share.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you for doing that, because I come this morning with just an excitement in my spirit. I'm seeing God doing moving through this church, through lives in this church, and I can sit back and look, okay? Some of you that are in the midst of things going on, you're not, you know, you're not maybe seeing them because you're in the middle of it, okay? I read the beginning of this a year ago yesterday. At my dad's home, going, celebrating his life. And when you hear it, you'll understand. My dad loved life. He loved serving God. So this is not meant to be a roast of him, but don't take it that way, okay? So this is Al Kitson's legacy, and that was my dad's name. And I never thought of my dad as someone having a legacy. He was just my dad. I have come to realize he does have a legacy, and it needs to be shared with the next generations. This is the main thing I wanted them to get. My dad was tough. Now, if you knew him, and a couple ladies here have met him and all, you wouldn't think so. But now I mean that to be that he had a I-can-do-that temperament. It started from the time he was little, and I don't, well, now I know it didn't stop until he took his last breath. I don't know how many times the nursing home told us, be prepared, your dad cannot continue living. He stopped taking his medication, and they said within 6 weeks he will have a massive heart attack. He needs to have his heart medicine to live. Four girls put our heads together through phone calls and texts and said, that's okay. Dad's ready to go home. Dad misses mom. Dad wants to see Jesus. So his life started out with, he was born with severe clubbed feet. And the way I have seen my dad's feet after many surgeries, but this is the best way I can describe it. His ankle bones were his feet, and his feet were just tucked up and all. He learned to walk on his ankle bones because of this. He was tough. When he was 10, he started enduring many surgeries to correct his feet as best as possible. And because he had been that way for 10 years, they did as best as possible. His parents loved him dearly, but firmly believed in faith healing and were trusting God to heal their son's feet. God never did. I don't know why. God does. He even had a surgery 5 days before his wedding, but that didn't stop him from marrying his precious Mary, my mom, on December 20th, 1952. It did result in his dad going on their honeymoon with them. Dad couldn't drive at that time because of the surgery. I don't have memories of my grandfather except pictures I had seen of him and in the casket. He died when I was 2 from an accident. I had viewed their wedding album a few days before the funeral and was surprised to see he was not on crutches. He had had surgery 5 days before. My sister told me that mom had spilled the beans. He had a cane just out of sight. He was going to walk for his wedding. Even though his feet were not healed until he reached heaven, he taught us God heals, and don't ever forget that. The afternoon after the funeral, we were going through more stuff because we were going to have to leave the next morning. And we were trying to sort through things my mom and dad had. And I found their official, I guess you'd call it, wedding picture. And my dad's standing there just straight as can be, just fine. And I looked at my one sister and I said, okay, Dad had surgery. This picture wasn't taken at the time of the wedding, was it? She said, no, they went into a studio 3 months afterwards because my dad was not going to have his official wedding picture with him not standing straight and being able to do it right. So yeah, that was my dad. He was also born during the Great Depression, January 1st, 1930, just before it started. This taught him the value of even a single penny. I still remember the hours he would spend each month, not only balancing the checkbook, but also accounting for every penny that was spent. And he would go evening after evening until he could figure out where that penny was spent. He did not want to stop until he knew where. My mom finally would say, now, Al, it's time to eat, and you have to clear off the table. Because in my teen years, because we were 10 when we moved to this, I'm in Wisconsin now, to Southern Illinois, we only had kitchen table then. We'd had dining room and kitchen table when we lived in Beloit as a child. So he hogged it. Let's put it that way. And she'd say, nope, got to clean it off. It's time to eat. And sometimes I can still remember hearing, but I haven't found where that penny went, or where, might be 32 cents, it might be whatever. But he wanted to know. He wanted to account for every penny. Thank goodness in his older years that stopped. But, you know, that was just my dad and how he was. When I was in my early teens, I remember he wanted to surprise my mom by installing a new kitchen faucet while she was at work. And I remember because I was helping him in some way, whether getting tools or whatever. It shouldn't be that hard. He could do it. He had the instructions. He worked all day on that faucet, and Mom came home to a flooded kitchen. You know, I still remember her walking in the door and going, Alan, what did you do now? I can still hear that voice. You didn't hear it very often, but that day we did. I don't remember exactly how the kitchen got flooded, but it did. Mom was very surprised. He did eventually get the faucet installed with one little quirk. It messed me up for years. The cold water knob worked backwards. So every time we'd go down to their house, I'd be constantly trying to turn the water on, but it went this way instead of this way to turn it on. Then I'd come home and I'd be constantly trying to turn my water on backwards. So it was fun. The faucet did get installed and it did not leak. So he did get it. When my dad was told that he would be in a wheelchair by the age of 30. I figured up the math back there but forgot to write it down. My dad was 75 at least before he got to the point that to get around he needed to use something. So us kids went together and got him a motorized chair so that he could get around and go places with my mom and stuff. From the first time he sat in it, he knew he could operate it. The problem was he would only operate it at one speed, as fast as it would go. Mom learned very quickly to walk behind him. After a couple bops in the ankles, his reflexes weren't really good enough to stop as fast as he should. When we'd go down to visit, Tim and I would find a time when one of us distracted him and the other one went and turned down the speed on the chair. Wayne's going, nope, didn't work. He'd notice. More power, yep. He'd turn it back up to the fastest speed. He could do it. He didn't get very many, but he did get a few speeding tickets in his life because he liked to go fast, you know. Dad also taught us it's good to have a sense of humor. I don't recall he was one to tell jokes, but his one-line comebacks were quick and hilarious. We were reminded about this in a report from a hospice nurse the first time that she saw him. She knew she would enjoy working with Dad the first time she met him. She asked him how he was feeling. His immediate response was, "With my fingers." We heard that so many times in our lives and saw that so many times that we, you know, we didn't too often ask Dad, how are you feeling? How are you doing, Dad? One of my sisters this week reminded us of another one that was not in my original thing. And she's right now in a assisted living place because of her husband. And at dinner one day, she was talking with some of the people there, and most of them are older than her. And one of them said the word, "Well." And my sister spouted back very quickly, "That's a deep subject for such a shallow mind." My dad always did, "That's a deep subject." And I told my husband, I go, "I don't think the shallow mind part was my dad's part of it. I think that came when my brother came back from college, and that got added to it." He went to a Christian college, by the way, but it was interesting. Dad taught us that the most fulfilling thing in life was to serve our Lord and Savior. He taught us about salvation and heaven, but also about trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us through life. God had a plan for each of our lives, and no matter what the plan is, we should be a witness of God's love. Church attendance was not an option. It wasn't even discussed. Sunday morning came, Sunday evening came, Wednesday evening came. You got in the car and went to church. You didn't ask or anything. We learned by example the joy of serving in the church. Southern, I had to shorten this, so there's some things that are missing, and I could not think of what they were. Southern Gospel music, quartet music, was the best, and to this day, I can still hear my dad singing many of those songs in his deep voice. He had what could go to be a very deep bass voice, but he had a bass voice. No matter what happened in life, he got through it. I know that he didn't do most things on his own, but with the help of God. He taught us kids that with God, all things are possible. We have a legacy to pass on to our children and grandchildren that come from tough stock. Tough stock. It is good to have a sense of humor, even if you are not a joke teller. God is our source and our strength. Teach, and this was to admonition to the nieces and nephews that were there and my siblings, teach your children about salvation and serving God with their life. Grandpa / great-grandpa wants to see them in the generations to come in heaven. So I had to shorten it because I had a limited time there. But now you get part two. So you get some of the rest of it. There's a story behind this and why I told Pastor Tim, be prepared to do this, because there's a song, and I'll get to it a little bit later, that God showed me something through it one morning here at church. And it's one that we sing at church. And, you know, I just felt like I need to share that with the congregation. But there never was an opportunity. After Heather spoke on Mother's Day, I still wanted to come up here and share that really bad. And God just said, "No, your dad's legacy." I honestly had no clue where these two sheets of paper were. That's the original from what I read at his funeral. I went through every one of my flash drives. I couldn't find it on my flash drive. And finally I said, "Okay, God, if you want me to say, you know, speak that, you're going to have to find that for me, because I have no clue what I did with it." That was a fog in my life at the time it happened. 2 weeks ago, I had to find a piece of paper in my purse. I happened to glance and see it was the funeral card from my dad's funeral. And I happened to look at what it was in. So I said, "Okay, God, I guess I'm going to do this." This is not my cup of tea, but when God says do it, I do it. So part two is my dad was called to be a minister. Absolutely called to be a minister for God. He, at times, pastored churches. I don't know why, but that never worked out for him to be a pastor of a church. But any church that we were in, He ministered to the people through love, through caring, through song, through whatever it was. But there was no difference to him between ministering from the pulpit or in a nursing or retirement home. There was one point in time that they held 3 services a week in 3 different nursing or retirement homes, and he was in his late 60s, early 70s at that time, doing that with the blessing of his pastor, whoever that might have been at the time. They changed churches at one point, and he actually asked the pastor of the church they had been in, is it okay if I continue doing this? Out of that respect for the pastor. And he just looked at him and said, no one else will do it, so yeah. He did nursing home services until the day he and mom moved into an assisted living place, even when they were in the retirement place, which was one of the places where they had done ministry once a week. That place already had someone holding Bible studies. He and mom had eventually were moved to a nursing home where they already had ministers coming in, well-established place. But the preaching him was quiet for many years, and I say that because when you're called to minister the gospel, you have a preach in you. I don't know how to explain it, but I see it in my husband. And regardless of whether you can preach it in a church, in a nursing home, or just your wife, it's going to come out. It was after my mom passed away, but probably more than a year or so before he did. One of the CNAs went by his room one day and heard Al yelling. Al didn't talk much, let alone yell. She stopped and listened and looked in and saw my dad and a yelling. I have no idea what. Doesn't matter what it was. God knew. And she came out and told the head nurse, Al's in there and he's preaching to a group of people. He can see them, but I sure don't. That happened on more than one occasion after that. That's why I say the preach was in him, regardless. My dad had Alzheimer's. So the last few years, we figured out the last time we saw him, he was probably around second grade from some of the things that he was saying going backwards in his life. And it was pretty funny, actually. He grew up, my grandmother insisted that you had to eat prunes every day or drink prune juice. My dad loathed. He didn't hate, he loathed prunes or prune juice. We helped him eat it, one of the meals, and he looked at his orange Jell-O. He goes, I want them prunes over there. I'm going, you mean that? Yeah, the prunes. Okay, Dad. So I fed him his orange Jell-O. Oh, these prunes are good. And that's what Alzheimer's does. The nursing home taught us very quickly, okay, if you ever have any family going through this, don't get upset and cry at what is happening, but enjoy the good times. It will leave you with precious memories. And it has. One thought I was hit with is I believe it was no coincidence that a certain CNA passed the room at just the right time. Seeds were planted that God can water and will grow at a later time. I don't know what my dad said. She didn't say what my dad said. But I know how God works, and God plants seeds. The music in our home was Christian and mostly Southern gospel. My mom played piano and my dad sang. And like I said, he had a beautiful bass voice. They included us kids. I can remember, I have no clue if we ever sang it in public or where we sang it in public. We always sang in the car. And we took trips during the summer because at that time, both my parents were school teachers. School teachers have the summer off. And I remember one time that they taught us to sing, and we were learning it when He Touched Me first came out. On one particular trip, God gave my mom 2 more verses to that for our family. And I can still remember hearing all of us singing, you know, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And one of the verses, and it's just run through my head all last night, was, us kids then would chime in and sing, four-part harmony, mind you, my mom and dad both were very musical. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's my counselor and my Prince of Peace. My beautiful Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley is he. And if you can hear, four young kids, my brother would have been 7th or 8th grade at that time. So maybe 12, 13, and stair-step down from there. These children's voices, and that's what I've been hearing. And then my mom or my dad would, my mom, would come in, won't you give your heart to Jesus? Yield your all to his control. Let him take your heavy burden. He will cleanse and satisfy your soul. Those were the verses that God gave them. To my knowledge, they never contacted the Gaithers and told them about it or anything like that. But God's never let me forget those words either. My upbringing on gospel music has proven to be very interesting in our marriage. I can hear a gospel song start to play, especially Southern gospel, and I can tell you what song it is before the words are even coming. He used to just dumbfound me, because when we first got married, we'd be riding along in the car, and we took a trip from St. Louis to, I don't know, Southern Texas anyway, a few days after we got married. And so we had music going. And a song would come on, and he'd go, oh, that's so-and-so by the so-and-so. Huh? How do you know that? And it was songs I had never heard, or only since I'd met him. So and just a couple weeks ago, a song came on, first note, and he starts singing the song, Pastor Tim does. I just look at him and go, how do you know that song? It's like, he goes, well, because that's how it starts. Something to that effect. He knows it, you know. I'm that way with the gospel music. He has started listening to a lot more gospel music. One thing I can tell you is my dad was not perfect. When I told Tim, and use that term today, that I had set, when we had set a date to get married, my dad said no. Now, he had already given the blessing for us to get married sometime. But this was less than 9 months after we had met. My dad came back with, you are too young, you need to go to college, and you only knew Tim for 6 months before he went to the military. No. My dad went to counseling for that. Literally, he went and talked to our pastor. My mom told me years later, and she said finally, Pastor Edmund looked at him after they talked back and forth quite a bit. He says, Al, this is what it is. She's 18. She's going to do it whether you want her to or not. He only knew me for 2 years and knew that. So, and you might as well go with it and not make it an issue in the family. My dad did, and to this day, I did not even know when we got married my dad had issues with it to that point. I knew I didn't make him happy, but he didn't let us know that. He sang in my wedding. He walked me down the aisle, him and my mom both, and they supported us as long as they could. When God told Pastor Tim that it was time to quit his job and prepare for the ministry, he called my dad. He didn't call me, he called my dad. And you have to bear with me, I just learned something last night. He called my dad because we had made a couple decisions as a couple and family a couple years before that, and changed churches from where we had been to out here. It was a God thing. For 2 years before we left that church, God had individually been telling us, I'm going to be taking you out of this church to a different one. Okay, God? We kept going on in that church, you know, music ministry, whatever was needed. And it was a very sudden thing when God brought us here. But the first night we walked in the door when we left, we knew, oh, this is where God wants us to be. We went through that. God didn't tell me boo about him quitting his job and going into ministry, other than letting me know that he's been called into ministry and it'll happen when it happens. So I know one thing. My dad was praying for us through the whole thing. Whether he told my mom right away or not, I don't know, but he was praying for us. A few weeks ago or so, Pastor Tim said, my wife needs to tell you her side of when I left Walmart. So this is not on paper. This is just going to be what God says to say. God provided the exact timing for me to find out my husband quit his job that day. Mind you, 4 kids. I'm part-time work. I don't have any insurance or anything like that. But we were with a group of people from this church, and before breaking up for the evening, they said, let's pray. So we all gathered around their dining room table and brought up different things. And they looked at him and said, Tim, do you have anything we could pray about for you guys? That's when I found out he quit his job. he said, yeah. He said, I quit my job today. I think I put my head down because I didn't want anybody to see my reaction. And they said, well, that is something we need to pray about. And he said, and Dean's just finding out now. But God told me to do it. And if God told me to do it, he's going to provide. They prayed. I had a lot of hands laid on me that night. But they prayed. And I know they continued praying. Because the next day he went into work. We went home, went to bed. It happened to have been New Year's Eve. So it was fairly late. We went home, went to bed. I didn't know what to say. My mind was going, your husband just quit his job. The other part was going, but you know God provides. Your dad has always said God will provide. Your husband quit his job, but you know, this went on all night. So if you're there and you have that going back and forth, I've been there. Still am there sometimes. We talked the next morning. He did tell me, he said, I did talk to your dad, called him. So your mom and dad do know about it. I just said, okay, what am I going to do? We promised when we got married, the word divorce would never enter our relationship. That was just something we did, okay? Had to do with my upbringing. If any of you have been divorced, it's okay. I've got a sister that was divorced and has a wonderful husband now. It was just something he and I and God needed to do, and he wasn't in church at that time, other than he went with me so he could see me. But the next, I had to figure out how long it was. 2.5 years, we went as a family with 4 kids with no insurance, no health insurance. We kept our life insurance going. He started out with no income, then started getting a small income, and I was still working part-time. But I was working for a man who, of the Catholic faith, but had been in the church here in town when the charismatic movement hit the Catholic Church. And he was praying for me. He knew what was going on. He just says, it's okay. But I think God impressed on him, it's time for Dean to get a full-time job. You know, this is going to continue. It's time for Dean to get a full-time job. So he starts putting feelers out for me. Telling different ones, hey, the gal that works for me, she needs a full-time job, and she'd be really good working for you. She's a really good worker, you know, just, and I've always been a good worker, okay? So I toot my own horn a little bit. And he set me up to help work during the summer down at the Educational Services Center. I was working, you know, at one of the schools. And And one day while I was working, one of the coordinators came down and she said, "Hey, Vern tells me that you'd be a really good person. You're good with people, you're good with kids, you're good with parents. We need somebody like that in our office. Would you come up and interview after you get off?" I'm in shorts and a t-shirt. I go, "It's okay." She was in shorts and a t-shirt too. Okay. So I did. I went up, interviewed, and just kind of had to laugh because she was would be one of my supervisors and a gentleman, the other one. He only had one concern. He hands me a sheet of paper and he said, "Can you read this?" I looked down at it and I started reading it. And he goes, "How can you read that?" I said, "Because it's my dad's handwriting. I've read that all my life." Well, he actually goes, "She's hired in my opinion. You know, she can read my handwriting. She can do my typing." You know? But God opened that door. And middle of August, full-time job, we started with the insurance because of it and everything. 2 weeks later, I slip off the edge of the driveway and twisted my ankle and had to get it checked out. You know, during the other 2.5 years, we had one trip to urgent care because TJ had a severe allergy attack. And the school was at school, they were concerned he was going into anaphylactic shock. He didn't. And all. When they called me, I said, "Give him the Benadryl. He's got Benadryl in the office. Go get it. Give him two if you can, because of his age. And I'll be there as fast as I can to pick him up." So I did. We went to urgent care, prescribed eye drops because his eyes had horribly swelled, and they were not going down. Took the prescription to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist looked at it, and she said, "Do you have insurance?" I said, "No." She said, "Well," she said, "go over to the shelf over there and pick up this brand of eye drops. They're allergy eye drops, the same ingredients as what's in this prescription. The prescription's $60 and those are $10. So even in that, to put the right pharmacist at the pharmacy at the time we needed to be told something like that, God was providing. And he has continued providing all along. Basically, that's what it was. There were some rough times, but we got through it. So I've got some takeaways from this morning. Your salvation and serving God is not a feeling. It is a decision. Okay? It's not always easy, and Satan will do everything he can to get you off track. So how do you get through the rough times? My dad would always say, "It doesn't matter what you're going through, you'll make it through it." So his thing was, number one, praise God. So Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." 1 Thessalonians, so catch that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice is praising. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Doesn't matter what you're going through, continually give God thanks. He saved you, he sent his son for you. Maybe there's been healing in your life. He's guided you. You've got something to thank God for and to praise him for. Sometimes you don't feel like praising, and I've been in times like that. So, and these are little points I remember from sermons my dad had done. Bring the sacrifice of praise if you don't feel like praising. To this day, God will bring the words of an encouraging song to my mind, because that's what I grew up on. We were, a family of music and singers. Many of those are scripture sent to music. How many of you remember the song, "We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord"? Where's the house of the Lord? Right inside of you. Sometimes you have to bring the sacrifice of praise. "I don't feel like praising today, God, but I'm going to praise you anyway." okay, I'm going to praise you anyway. In some really tough times that I've been through recently, I found earbuds and a good Christian music station, and I've got several to pick from now. Help me focus on the important things and shut out what was causing the frustration. And to my utter surprise, one day at work, work was my frustration for a while. I had the earbuds in, and that is something that you do not do at work. But God goes, you need to have some music going before you say something you don't want to say. So I did. I put the earbuds in, put on the station, and began listening and all. And off and on for a while, my boss walks in one day, and I've got both earbuds in, which I tried not to do. And I pull one out. I go, I am so sorry. She just looked at me, and she said, it's okay. It's helping you. She recognized. I did not think that was the reaction I was going to get, but from then on, I knew when I needed to, I could put both earbuds in. God took care of the situation, and we'll see where it goes from here. We're on a journey right now. It's a good journey, though, okay? God gave me someone else to work with who's agnostic. I'm going, okay, yeah, I know there's God. I grew up in the Catholic Church, but with things that have gone on in my life, I just don't know. I just told her, that's okay. I said, I believe in God. My husband's a pastor of a church. I'm there with him for the people of the church. I believe in God, and I know God takes care of things. We left it at that. We work very well together. Another thing is pray the will of God. For me, this is praying in the Spirit at many times. Romans 8:28 was one of my dad's most favorite verses. Not to begin with, that had been the Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, again I will say rejoice. Always heard my dad quoting that. We had a pastor, though, that his favorite was, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I know I'm called according to his purpose. Am I always walking in that purpose? I try. Let's put it that way. And then before that, though, there's Romans 8:26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there have been times when different things going on, I haven't known even what to pray. And I go to pray in the Spirit, and it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I know you're helping me. And I'd begin to groan. Never understood that before. But even if we can't say it, the Holy Spirit can be praying it through us. Number four is, never forget that you are not on this earth to make it on your own. God is right there with you and ready to help you through any situation. He is what you need him to be. And this is where we get to the last song that we sang this morning. What do you need each day? The one Sunday morning we were singing it, and, you know, yeah, God's way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And I was really struggling with something that day. And I felt God say, what do you need me to be today? Do you need me as a way maker? Do you need me as a miracle worker? Do you need me as a promise keeper? Do you need me as that light in the darkness? God is all those things, but he can be what you need for that moment, for that day. Those words have never left my mind since. And I was able to share it with a lady that, I call them cohort friends and all. She works in a different district, but we do the same job in our respective districts. And she's a Christian, spirit-filled. And we have talked a little bit, and I sent her an email And, you know, I asked her my questions. She sent back, and it didn't sound the same as how she usually responded. I got the answer I needed, but there was something missing. Okay, I can't even say exactly what it was. So I sent back. I go, how are you doing? Just that was it. And she sent back. She says, I am in the middle of something right now. I do not know how it's going to end, and I don't want to be here anymore. Something to that effect. I got on the phone. And I was like, oh, no, we're not going to do this through text. We're going to call her. And I called her, and I said, hey, this was a couple days after that hit me with that song. I said, do you know the song Waymaker? She says, yeah, I love that song. I said, well, God hit me with something, you know, Sunday or a couple Sundays ago. And this is what he said, that I will be on each day that you need, whatever you need me to be. Today, do you need a waymaker? Today, do you need a promise keeper? Do you need a miracle worker? Do you need a light in the darkness? Whatever you need, he is that today. She goes, okay, I got to go. And I knew why. And she was at work also. She sent me an email back and she said, thank you so much. God ministered that to me. I've sang that song for a while, and what you said is true. And we haven't had a chance to be much in contact. I don't know how things are going for her, but I'll be in touch with her. So I asked Pastor Tim if he would play a song, because I heard it not too long ago, and I'm sure I heard it years ago, but it never really stuck with me. But it has come to mean so much. And it kind of reinforces Philippians 4:13. It's not going to be up there on the board. Listen to the words. But it reflects the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. God doesn't want us to try to make it on our own. He wants to be there, and he is there to be what we need him to be. Reach up, grab his hand. And I know that there's different families in the church that are going through a lot of different things. And one thing that caught me, my attention in that song, was it wasn't about a valley being too low. The valley was too wide. It was going on forever. Hang on. God is there, regardless of what. God will get you through it. Hold on. And you may not have been raised with Christian parents or anything. That's okay. This is Father's Day. I know, Alex, sorry, you're the only one with young kids. But I got a whole bunch of grandparents sitting here. And I want to tell you right now that, or uncles, teach the next generation to hold on to God's hand. Teach them those verses. Those were ones that I had memorized as a kid. And I just don't trust my memory that far anymore to say it without looking it up. And I couldn't tell you where most of them were. I had to figure that out with some help. But go forward. Take it forward. God's given you an opportunity to take forward and teach your kids, your grandkids, nieces, nephews, whatever it is, how to hold to God's hand, how to trust God, how to sing when it gets hard, how to praise when it gets hard. And that is what I'm asking you, is carry it forward, regardless of what your upbringing was. Begin to put that aside. It's okay. You have a heavenly Father that really loves you more than your earthly father ever could. I'm done. Do you want me to close? Okay. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Father God, I just bring to you this congregation this morning. It is a group of people that are so dear and love you. And even the little kids, gosh, it just touched me this morning to hear a little kid's voice singing with the music. But Father, give the fathers and the mothers, the grandmas, the grandpas, the aunts, the uncles, the courage to begin teaching this and carrying this forward to the next generation. those that are going through trials, Father God, hold their hand over that valley. It's a wide valley, but you know, and you will get them through it. Prayer is how they get through it. Take each one this week. We pray a special blessing on the fathers. Just give them abundance of blessing this week. Things that they look at and go, that's unusual. But good things that are unusual. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And now, as they're leaving, Father God, the giving that is given, I just ask you to bless it. Multiply it, not only for the church, but Father God, multiply it for the families back to them, that they see how good you are. And I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.